Thank you for taking time to listen to a message that was given at the Bridge Church in Bradenton, Florida. It's an honor to serve you, and we hope that you'll grow and be encouraged by today's message.
Man, I want to take a second, and I wasn't planning on saying this, and I don't think I'm going to cry or anything, man, I was just so, I was looking around during worship, and man, I'm so overwhelmed by the love that you've shown me and my wife. Yeah. I'm so just honored and blessed to call the Bridge home. I love all of you so much, and I'm just so honored to be here, and thank you for just loving us so much, and it's hard to move. I know some of y'all know it's hard to move from the place you know so well and coming to somewhere new, it's been awesome, and just so thank you so much for that. Love you guys so much. Everybody say woo. Cool. All right, I'm good. Don't worry about it. I was just thinking earlier, and Easter, I just feel like is a time to reflect, and I've just been reflecting a lot on Easter, and my first kind of thoughts of Easter were kind of weird, to be honest. Didn't really understand it. My first thoughts of Easter were just, it was all about the presents. It was all about getting candy and going on an Easter egg hunt, and it was all about my parents dressing me up really awkwardly and uncomfortably, and I wish I had a picture. I thought about it today, but it was kind of late. But for some reason, every single Easter, my mom thought it would be a good idea to dress me up and stand me on a tree, a dead tree, like right next to it. And I didn't even know. Like, it was like I was on top of just, I don't know. It was really weird. But that's what I think of when I think about Easter. That was my first kind of thoughts about Easter, and I didn't really understand like what it was all about. I didn't understand that we were actually celebrating someone. We were celebrating something. It just never really made sense to me. And it wasn't until after I came to know Jesus and became a follower of Christ that I realized that, man, like, Easter is a huge deal. I mean, it is just an incredible celebration of what God has done. It is an incredible celebration of what God is going to do. And it's incredible. And I think about it, and going back, I've always believed, I've always just been so excited about Easter. Like, it just gets me really excited. And I'm like, yes, like, I know God is going to do big things. I know that God is going to rescue people. I believe that God can set people free from addictions, from guilt, from their past, from condemnation, from depression. Like, I believe in a big God. Yeah. I believe that God's going to do great things this weekend. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I look back to it, though, and thinking about it today, I don't know if I ever connected that to me personally. It's like I always believed that God was going to do great things for other people. It's like I always knew that God was going to do incredible things in my church, but it wasn't really going to be connected to me. I knew that God, that there were going to be salvations. I believe in a God that does miracles, that heals people, that heals relationships. I've always believed that, and I'm going to believe that. But so often, we think that's for other people. It's almost like we believe that God is going to do big things, but only at a distance. And I think, honestly, and if you were probably honest with yourselves, could most of y'all relate to that? Yeah, some of y'all, awesome. Yeah, I think so often we do. We're like, yes, God, you're going to do great things, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be connected to me. We don't realize that God can move in our families. He can move in our friends. He can move in our coworkers. We believe it for those people. We believe it for the people around us, but I don't know if we truly believe it about our own lives and about the people connected to us. And I thinking about it and realizing that's a pretty big deal. And the reason it's a big deal, and I say this all the time, and I apologize that I do, but I say it because it's a big deal. Our perspective on something directly affects the way we relate to that thing. If I viewed Seth as a mean, angry person, I'm probably not... He just said amen. I'm probably not going to relate to him very well. But if I viewed him as a loving, caring, incredible friend, our relationship is going to be totally different because the way that I see him directly determines the way that I relate with him. And it's the same way with God. And it's the same way with what we believe about God moving. Now, if we believe that God is going to move and God is going to do incredible things, if we believe that people are going to be saved, people are going to be rescued, but we don't believe it about people close to us, how do you think we're going to relate with what God is going to do? And I was just thinking about it, and I'm thinking like, why are we not going crazy with inviting people to church? Why are we not going crazy with praying for what's going to happen this weekend? Why? Like, what is that? Where's the disconnect? And I think it's because often, and maybe not all the times, we believe that God's going to move, but not necessarily around us. And if we think about it, it's kind of ridiculous. Because if you look in the Bible and you look at Scripture, nowhere does God talk about moving, but not in relationship with you. If you look in the Bible, if you look with Paul and the disciples, and you look in the Old Testament, God always moves in the lives of the people that love him. He moves in and around in friends and families and He moves everywhere. He moves everywhere. And why don't we believe that? And I found this verse, and I love Paul. Do we have any Paul lovers in here? Yeah, I love Paul. Paul is incredible. And Paul had this motivation. He had something stirring inside him that compelled him to pray. It compelled him to tell people about Jesus. It compelled him to go through things that most people couldn't go through. It's this motivation, this compelling force. And what was it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living inside of you. Christ breathing and living and moving inside each and every one of you individually is the hope of glory. That's where we find hope to believe confidently that God is going to move, and not just in other people's lives, but in our own. And so I was reading in Colossians, and I love this verse. I think it's so cool, and it's in Colossians 1, and it will be on the screen. Paul says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. He says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. And everybody is everybody. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory, being a part of his glory, being a part of what God is doing, not just at a distance, not just from another room, not like watching it on TV. This gives you assurance of being included in what God wants to do. Man, that's cool stuff. He says, so we tell others about Christ. That's the motivation. So because of that, we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. See, Paul was motivated. He believed that God was going to do big things. He believed that God wasn't just going to do big things around him, but God was going to do big things in him and through him and in the lives of the people connected to him. I love how the Message says it. He says, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. I love this next part. He says, God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. That's cool. I think we forget sometimes that God wants to move in every single person's life that you see, that you touch during the week, regardless of their background, regardless of what they've done, regardless of the kind of family they have, regardless of anything. God wants desperately to move in and through their lives. God, that's so cool. Sorry. He goes on, he says, the mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. We can be a part of it. We can experience it. He says it's that simple. That is the substance of our message. Now, most translations in that verse say what I told y'all earlier, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want y'all to say that. Let's say Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's say it. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Pretty cool if we think about it. And I've been thinking, hope is one of my favorite words, and sometimes it bothers me. I think oftentimes our definition of hope, the world's definition of hope, is way, way off from what God's definition of hope is. Our definition of hope is a wishful thought, wishful thinking. Man, I hope this would happen. I would really like for this to happen. Now, back in January, I think the end of January, the beginning of February, we knew Easter was coming up, being this week, and we planned that Overflow would be at the beach that week, thinking, hey, it's the third week in March. It's going to be warm. It's going to feel good. It's going to be nice. And it's Florida, you know? We moved down to Florida. It's supposed to be hot all the time. And so, nevertheless, we come, and the third week in March is the coldest week of the year. It is freezing. It was awesome, by the way. But I found myself thinking, like, man, God, I hope it's not freezing. I hope students come. I hope it's not going to be the worst week of Overflow ever. Like I hope this is going to happen. It's like we wish this would happen. I would really like for this to happen. It would be cool if this would happen. And we do that with hope in every area of our lives. I hope I get this job. I would really like to get this job. I hope this marriage works out. I hope this is okay. I hope she doesn't hate me. I hope that my life is going to be all right. I hope that I'll get through this. I would like to get through this. I hope I find the right person. I hope. And we throw this word around like it has no meaning. Just like love, like we throw around love. God's definition of hope is totally different than the world's definition of hope. I looked it up today. The Greek concordance, the Greek definition of hope, is a joyful and confident expectation. Whoa. Yeah, think about that. Think about the difference from wishing something to happen to joyfully and confidently expecting something to happen. Just let's think about that for a second. Let's think about how that would motivate what we did, how that would motivate our prayers. If we just wished for something to happen, you know, yeah, we'll probably pray. We'll probably invite a few people. You know, it'll be fun. You know, it's going to be good. We'll have family in town. We wish this would happen. Oh, yeah, it would be nice for this to happen. I hope God moves. Compare that to, man, I am joyfully and confidently expecting God to move in the lives around us, to move in my own life, to heal me, to heal my family, to heal my relationships, to save my boss, to save my coworkers, to move in a powerful way. It is a totally different motivator. It's a big deal. And that's what Paul had. That's what the disciples had. If we look at their lives, man, they did incredible things. They could not stop talking about Jesus. They couldn't stop praying. They couldn't stop giving. They couldn't stop. Why? Because their hope was not wishful thinking. It was a confident expectation. They knew God was going to do great things. They knew it. They believed it. It was a compelling force. And I'm telling you, if our hope goes from wishful thinking to confident expectation, we will be a force to be reckoned with. Amen. Big things will happen. Yeah, amen. Imagine what our prayers would sound like. Imagine how your relationships in your family would look like. Imagine what going to work would look like. Imagine what your quiet time would look like if our hope went from being wishful thinking to a yes, God is going to do something great in my life, through my life, around my life. Imagine what that would look like. It'd be great. Sign me up. I want some of that. Imagine. Imagine what our community would look like. Imagine what our church would look like if we were joyfully and confidently expecting and knowing that the God that we serve and love wants to move in and through our lives. Man, it'd be incredible. It'd be incredible. It would be amazing. And so I guess the question is, like, awesome, Pastor, that sounds good, but how do I get there? How do I do that? How do I go from wishing to knowing? How do I go from would liking God to move to confidently expecting him to move? And it's right there in that verse. And honestly, it's what this whole weekend is about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living in you, the hope of sharing in God's glory. Christ living and breathing inside of each and every one of us. That's where we are joyful and confidently expecting God to move. That's where we get to share in God's glory. That's when we get to share in what God is doing. That's when we get to see God move in our families and in our friends. And imagine the people you would talk to. Imagine how you wouldn't be able to stop talking about what God is doing. If we were a church that joyfully and confidently expecting God to do something, try stopping us from praying. Try stopping us from inviting our friends. Try stopping us from spreading the glorious, joyful news of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. Try stopping us from serving. Try stopping us from giving to our community. Woo! Yes! And it comes from remembering what this weekend is all about. Remembering and engaging in the incredible work of Christ. And the fact that Jesus didn't just die for you, he died as you. He died in your place. And if we're united in his death, certainly we are united in his resurrection. We're united in joy. We're united in his peace. We're united in his life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so tonight, I just want to, for a second, just remember that. Because we forget. And, you know, the question is, well, how do I always believe? That's all, you know, I remember that was always my prayer. Like, God, I want to have more faith. I want to believe. Yes, God, I want to expect you to move. I want that. How do I have more faith? And it was frustrating to me. I didn't understand it. Like, God, I want to believe. It's hard, though. And Romans talks about how faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. It comes from hearing the glorious news of Jesus Christ. It comes from hearing what Christ has done on the cross. It comes from hearing every day, remembering what Christ has done for you individually.